Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. We're delighted to have you on board. In fact, we would like to hear from you today for your questions or comments, for your dialogue and discussion. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this microphone is open each day on this broadcast for your input. The only way we know if it's a blessing to you, if it's a benefit to you, if it's a challenge to you, if you're being informed and educated on the issues, is if you call, join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to have you. You can do so by dialing 401-1413. We're going to be talking about today, what about our Bill of Rights? Does the Bill of Rights and our election have anything to do with each other? Are they related in any fashion in the national and local and statewide elections across America on November the 6th? Do we have any indication of that in our study today? That's what we want to do, is talk about that issue. What about our Bill of Rights? But ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, let me remind us once again, we have the responsibility to be salt and light in a society in which we're living in. Issues that we're all facing day by day in relationship to how we live our lives, what we do, and what we ought to say and do. And we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Scripture is very, very clear. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what he said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 17:17, Jesus spoke very definitively and said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we search for answers for the issues that we're faced with, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And this is the reason I challenge you day by day to have a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview simply says that we base our decisions on the issues as we're faced with them, based on the authority of the Word of God, not based on a denominational dogma, not based on ideological rhetoric, rights and rules and regulations, but based on what the Word of God says. And ladies and gentlemen, when we think about where we are today in society and the importance of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, we need to understand this midterm election, and we need to understand how it's going to affect us all in relationship to our liberties. You see, the first two amendments and our 27 amendments in the Constitution, the first two amendments deal with our religious liberties, freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. Now, I don't know of any other two amendments that's any more vital, any more important, because without those two, all of the others are insignificant and have no value. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we be reminded of the vital importance of this midterm election. It's not a matter of Republican or Democrat. It's a matter of preservation of our constitutional republic and our Bill of Rights. On this morning's Fox and Friends, I was entertained by Diamond and Silk. I don't know if you've heard the two. It's the conservative two black ladies that love the Lord and love the Constitution. And Diamond and Silk said, and I was amused by this, "We must vote right so that we don't go left," end quote. That is a good statement, I believe. We need to vote right so that we don't go left. And ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, moral, ethical citizens, we need to understand the import, the impact, and the absolute importance of this election. Our Bill of Rights provides us with the protection of our freedom of speech, our religious liberties, and our self-defense, the right to keep and bear arms. As all of those on the left, we're talking about the Socialist Democrats, all of those on the left want to limit or cancel our religious liberties and our right to keep and bear arms. The political correct crowd, ladies and gentlemen, even our schools today and colleges and universities are now condemning any citizen, anyone who believes in or stands for his or her Second Amendment. And even some of the judges are making rules and decisions in the courtroom based on their bias. Here's an article that says, teen kicked out of the class over the NRA shirt. An angry mother is speaking out after she says a Lodi High School teacher targeted students wearing T-shirts advertising the National Rifle Association. She was basically being attacked in class, said the mother. Two sophomores were wearing NRA shirts when they said they were singled out in the class by their teacher, who started schooling them on why guns are bad. Why guns are bad. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem we're finding today with so many that's on the left. They're focusing on what's supposed to be bad. And ladies and gentlemen, a gun is an inanimate object. A gun can't pull the trigger and shoot somebody. It's the one that's behind the trigger that makes the wicked, evil decision to go out and to slaughter and murder, just as the 11 that were murdered in the Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh just a few days ago. We'll talk about that also in a minute. Here's an article that says, instructor tries to quarantine gun owners in back of the class. A teaching assistant at the University of Utah tried to create a Second Amendment zone in a classroom, forcing students who legally carry to stand in a tiny taped-off area with no desk during class. A concerned student brought the matter to the Utah State Representative, who then publicized the issue, prompting university officials to override the instructor and reassigning them to non-teaching duties for the rest of the semester. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little tip of the iceberg. There are literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of cases across America where our liberties are being truncated and are destroyed. We're asking the question, what about the Bill of Rights? What does the Bill of Rights have to do with this election cycle? We're going to talk about our election candidates in just a moment, especially for the state of Florida, and what we need to be concerned about in relationship to the governor's race in particular. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Federal judge gives okay to lawsuit over foster parents' guns. A federal judge has given the okay to a lawsuit filed against the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services over its rule that foster parents in the state do not have Second Amendment rights. And I could go further, but the article simply let me truncate it and say this. The judge ruled that if you are a foster parent in that particular state, if you're a foster parent in Michigan, that you cannot own, keep a gun in the home. You cannot exercise your Second Amendment right. The judge explained very bluntly when he made that ruling, quote, we know we're violating numerous constitutional rights here, but if you do not comply, we will remove the boy from your home, end quote. And it was a case where the family decided that they need to take it to court. They're facing the battle, carrying out the battle as a result of that, where the judge made the decision he could just simply arbitrarily and capriciously truncate the Second Amendment rights. Here's an article that says California governor signs a bill to raise age requirements to 21 to purchase a rifle or shotgun. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a slew of gun control measures, including one that raises the age of requirement to permit purchase a rifle or shotgun. And a tightening of what many believe are the strictest gun laws in the nation since Senate Bill 1100 now requires all firearm purchases to be at least 21 years of age. California already restricts handgun sales to people 21 or older. Governor Jerry Brown, quote, Governor Jerry Brown just told millions of people under 21 that they can fight and die for our state and country with machine guns, but they can't buy a gun for self-defense in their own homes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with and talking about and focusing for the few moments of introduction in this issue that we're facing today in relationship to our election. We're introducing it basically with the Second Amendment right. We could talk about our religious liberties and our freedom of speech, One of the things that's so important, I think, for a nation is our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms. And that right to keep and bear arms, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing a dictator will do in any nation, any country, is to remove the religious liberties, freedom of speech, and the right to keep and bear arms, to then ultimately be the dictator in control over the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we could examine literally thousands of cases. Down through the years, I've examined thousands of cases and issues in relationship to the Second Amendment rights. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist agenda is to destroy America's freedoms and liberties. That's the agenda of over 100 candidates that's running across the nation today, in the House and the Senate and in the governorships and some state and local elections. Ladies and gentlemen, their goal is to neuter our Constitution, to remove the right to keep and bear arms, and to prevent we, the people, from being in control of our government. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the Bill of Rights is simply codified what is called our natural rights. What do we mean, natural rights? It is the natural right in that they are God-given rights. God has given us the right to keep and bear arms. We'll talk about that in a moment. God's given us the right of freedom of speech and religious liberties. We have that right. We have that freedom. It's given by God. In fact, the right of the citizens to keep and bear arms is given by God, codified in the Constitution, confirmed by the courts, to be carried out by we, the people. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege of publishing a book back several years ago. It's entitled The Doctrine of Self-Defense, and it is looking at it. In fact, it's an in-depth look at the Second Amendment of the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms, based on a biblical concept. In fact, I'll read you a few verses in a moment to validate that, but let me read you from my book on that subject, pages 31 and following, some statements by some of our founding fathers of yesteryear. George Washington said, "Firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance, that they are the people's liberty teeth." Thomas Jefferson, "Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God." James Madison said, "Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms." Samuel Adams said, "The Constitution should never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms." James Donald said, "The usual road to slavery is that first they take away your guns, then they take away your property, then last of all, they tell you as the people to shut up and enjoy the silence." George Mason said, "To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave the people." Richard Henry Lee, 1788, said, "To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them." Thomas Jefferson said, "The Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that it is the right and the duty at all times to be armed." Patrick Henry said, "We should not forget that the spark which ignited the American Revolution was caused by a British attempt to confiscate the firearms of the colonists." Here's a final statement that I'll read. There are dozens of them in my book. Thomas Jefferson said, "The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how I could have stated it any better, but it sets the stage for what I'm wanting to tell you. The right to keep and bear arms is something that is inherent in our Constitution, but God gave it to us. At your leisure, go back to the little book of Esther. Esther, the third chapter in particular, verses 12 through 15, and I'll read a few verses and then comment. "Then were the king's scribes called in the 13th day of the first month, and there were written according to all Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and the governors that were over the provinces, and the rulers of every people of every province according to the writings thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring." And the law that I'm speaking of here in this text, I'm trying to truncate it for the brevity of it. Haman had the king deceived into writing a bill, a law, that basically said that every Jew in the kingdom would be killed. And this is what it says in the 13th verse in the third chapter of Esther. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy and to kill and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. But ladies and gentlemen, when it was discovered that the king had been deceived, he said, "The law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be altered, but I can issue a new law." He issued a new law, and it was sent out then to counter the first law. And the new law that was issued said, in essence, when they come to kill you, they were sent out to all of the provinces for all of the Jews, for the Jews to defend themselves. And it said, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the epitome of the right to keep and bear arms and the right of self-defense. But that was sent out to 128 provinces in that day. The Jews were going to be slain, all annihilated. And as a result of Esther's risking her life to go before the king so that the king could understand what had taken place, the new law was issued. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you today that it's important for us to understand that our Bill of Rights are at stake today in the United States of America. This election will determine, will ascertain what we the people will do with our constitutional republic and our rule of law and the representative form of government. It's not a democracy. It's a representative form of government. And it's a not a democratic at all. It's a constitutional republic. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If Florida voters, if we the people elect Andrew Gillum, we will be voting to destroy our Bill of Rights and endanger the state of Florida. Listen very carefully at what socialist Andrew Gillum is for and what he is doing and what he stands for. This 39-year-old failed mayor, that's what he is, a 39-year-old failed mayor of Tallahassee, is a pure and simple, in-your-face socialist. Socialist. Now, I understand that he says to people when asked that question, I'm not a socialist, but yet he is carrying out socialist agenda. He was trained in one of the schools out on the left coast, that is out in California, one of the George Soros schools, a revolutionary school to change revolution, to train revolutionaries for the United States of America for the overthrow and the destruction. He was there for some 18 months. He was in the same school of training that Van Jones, the proud in-your-face communist under the Obama administration, had to be removed simply because he was so onerous with his agenda of a communist. And he is now on the Communist Network News as one of the anchors, one of the commentators, if you please, on that program. But listen, what we're talking about is a person that's running for office in the state of Florida. And I could talk about many of the other candidates. There's a socialist running for the governorship in the state of Georgia. But I'm concerned about particularly right now the state of Florida. And I'm trying to say this as we face this issue today, ladies and gentlemen, to let you understand this is not just a normal election. This is not just a midterm election as we've had in the past. This midterm election will make the decision. It will determine the direction of our nation, of our cities, of our states, as to whether or not we go down the road of socialism. Socialism, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is anti-God, anti-church, anti-constitution. It's against the Bill of Rights. And socialism is simply communism light, L-I-T-E. In fact, it was Karl Marx that said you could take a capitalistic society, you could let it devolve into socialism to ultimately evolve into communism, which is the utopian agenda for the socialists today. Ladies and gentlemen, look at any socialist country, any socialist communist nation today. Look at Venezuela, and you will find a failed government, a failed economy, and the rights of the people are absolutely truncated and are destroyed. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the need for us to recognize that this vote on November the 6th, we're going to make the determination of the destiny of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and the republic that we are under as a constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413, if you want to dive in at any point of this discussion. 401-1413 gets you to the microphones so that we can discuss this. If you have any interest in joining, you perhaps you disagree with me. I'd love to hear why. If you disagree with these statements, call me, challenge me, let me know why. I'd love to know why I'm wrong, where I am wrong on this issue. But you can look at any socialist, communist country and see the deterioration. But this socialist, communist light, Andrew Gillum, will destroy the state of Florida. He says that he will cancel the Second Amendment for the state of Florida. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have what's called the Stand Your Ground laws in the state of Florida. We have the Castle Doctrine in the state of Florida. And the Castle Doctrine and the Stand Your Ground law simply means that it is a re-amplification of the Second Amendment rights that's in our Constitution, which is in our Bill of Rights, that is, and it is a re-amplification of that in the Stand Your Ground laws and the Castle Doctrine for the state of Florida. But Andrew Gillum, the socialist, if he's elected as governor of the state of Florida, has already said that he would remove, he would truncate, he would cancel by executive order that Stand Your Ground law. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in serious danger if we allow that to take place. He said he will cancel the Florida Stand Your Ground law and the Castle Doctrine. He is against the Bill of Rights. He's openly said that. He is for sanctuary cities and said that he would make Florida a sanctuary state if elected as governor. Ladies and gentlemen, just think for a moment now what it would mean if we have a sanctuary state in the state of Florida. There would be no rules or regulations to control what an illegal alien could do in our state. Those that are coming in now, the hordes of somewhere between 10 and 15,000, three different caravans they're called, but they're literally invaders, foreign invaders. Why do I call them foreign invaders? They're foreign invaders because they're waving their nation's flag as they travel headlong toward the borders, southern borders of the United States of America. If you find any book on what is called war or going to war or the elements of military engagement, you'll find when an enemy approaches, waving their nation's flag, coming in with the intent to rush the borders, or coming in with the intent to come into the nation, that is an invading force. They may not come with rifles and bayonets or weapons, but they're still an invading force. But Andrew Gillum says for the state of Florida, he would have open arms welcome for that invading force. He has said that he is for open borders. He says he is against President Trump's desire to build a wall. Anything that President Donald J. Trump is for, Andrew Gillum is out of hand against it. He is for socialist communism as a governor. In fact, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he lies on some of his commercials. He says he brought crime down 24% in Tallahassee as mayor. Now, that might be just looking at a little microcosm of some part of that statement. But crime, i.e. murder, has increased by 52%. 52% increase in murder in Tallahassee under his leadership as mayor. He said he's for sanctuary cities. He wants to cancel ICE. That's our Border Patrol enforcement, reinforcement for our Border Patrol on our border. ICE. He wants to cancel it. He wants to cancel the program that protects us at the southern border in particular. It's at the southern border and the northern border, but I'm talking about southern in particular. Gillum, Andrew Gillum, is against the border wall. Andrew Gillum is for free education for everybody, including illegal aliens. And he's, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about something free, and perhaps you're listening, you're in the age group of 18 to 35 years old, it's historically called millennials. Millennials today, most believe as millennials in free stuff. There's no such thing as free stuff. The 28-year-old liberal socialist in upstate New York that just won a primary that's going to be in the vote now on November the 6th, she's 28 years old. She is a socialist. And in your face, she wants to give everything free. When asked by one of the commentators on a news broadcast, where would the money come from? She said, of course, the government would pay for it. Well, I beg to ask the question, where does the government get the money? The government extracts the money from your pocket and mine. The government can only print the money. The government cannot make money. The government cannot generate money. They have to take it out of your pocket and mine. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about free stuff, it is talking about you and I paying for it. There's no such thing as a free ride. Andrew Gillum is for free education. Andrew Gillum is for free medical care for everybody, including the illegals. Gillum is for the horde of foreign invaders that's coming to our borders. Gillum is for the taxpayer-funded Planned Parenthood murdering of babies. 61 million babies approximately have been murdered since Roe versus Wade in 1973. And Planned Parenthood is the chief abortuary in the nation today. And Andrew Gillum is for paying for Planned Parenthood via taxpayer dollars. Gillum is for special rights for the sodomite groups like LGBTQ. Listen to what I'm saying. He is not for them to have just the normal rights that you have and I have as Floridians or as Americans. He wants special rights for the LGBTQ, the sodomite group. Gilliman wants abortion on demand. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the danger that our Bill of Rights is in and that it faces if our citizens in the state of Florida vote for a socialist, Andrew Gillum, as governor. Gillum is under FBI investigation now for corruption in his office. Gillum will institute a Florida state income tax. He's already said that he would do so. He said that he would increase the taxes by $1 billion. It will simply drive citizens out of Florida. It will close small businesses by the thousands in the state of Florida. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I believe is more serious and it probably is more telling than anything else, and it's not my words, it's simply in a document that I have on my desk where one of Gillum's associates, one of his lobbyist buddies, has already admitted now under FBI requests for documents, he's already admitted that he is a, if you please, a friend, an intimate friend of Andrew Gillum, the governor, the mayor. And you know the connotation there, and I won't go into detail by way of radio broadcast. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we must mobilize and get the vote. If you're listening to me today and you're a Christian, you have the right and the responsibility, the God-given right and responsibility to vote, to protect our nation, to protect our cities, to protect our states. And the only way we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, is to vote. We're already in the early voting, and millions of votes have already been cast nationwide, and we need to vote. Whether it's early voting or regular voting on November the 6th, and as governor, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot afford not to vote. Listen, we must vote for Ron DeSantis for governor. He is a constitutionalist. He is a conservative. He is a Christian. He stands for the rule of law, and he is against anything that would be called socialism. We must not allow the socialist Andrew Gillum to be elected as governor. Gillum was schooled, as I said earlier in the broadcast, he was schooled in the revolutionary school of George Soros that provides you with all the information you need to know as to his agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, we have 67 sheriffs. 55 support Ron DeSantis. Only 7, and they're in the Miami-Dade counties, only 7 sheriffs approve and say they're going to vote for Ron Andrew Gillum. Law enforcement officials really know the dangers of Gillum. Ladies and gentlemen, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian, every moral, every ethical citizen in Florida, we must not allow our constitutional republic and our Bill of Rights to be trampled underfoot and truncated and removed by a proposed socialist governor. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.